The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org.
This is KUCI FM 88.9 in Irvine.
Welcome to In the Garden, hosted by University of California Master Gardeners. I am Katrina Kirkaby, your Master Gardener host for today. I'm excited to bring you a new show on KUCI called In the Garden. It is a weekly half-hour show devoted to what's going on and what to do in Orange County home gardens. Each week, one of your University of California Master Gardeners will feature a current gardening topic, project, or interview with a local garden expert. For example, we'll feature a monthly show on what to do in the garden for that month, a garden project of the month, a what's bugging you segment to focus on solving garden problems, and other fun, informative garden topics. As you know, we live in one of the best climates in the world, and one in which we can enjoy and cultivate edibles and decorative plants all year around. No cold, snow-covered gardens for us. But that also means that much of the garden literature out there doesn't apply to us, as often assumes frost and freezing weather for a good chunk of the year. So our show will specifically focus on what's the right thing to do at the right time of year in our Orange County gardens. So who are these University of California Master Gardeners who are hosting the show? There are three of us who will take turns hosting the show: me, Katrina Kirkaby, and Tina Spindler, and Mark Furley. We are all University of California Master Gardeners. That means we are volunteers who have a passion for gardening, but more importantly, we have been trained by the University of California Cooperative Extension in science-based gardening, horticulture, pest control, and water management. We are a public outreach arm of the University of California, and our mission is to bring information to the public. If you'd like more information on master gardening and questions about your garden, you could look at our website at www.uccemg.com. If you have a specific question in your garden or what to do or a problem you're trying to deal with, you could always send us an email at hotline@uccemg.com. We do this in a variety of ways by volunteering at public gardens like the Farm and Food Lab at the Great Park in Irvine, Centennial Farm at the Fairgrounds, volunteering at garden events like the South Coast Plaza Garden Show, as well as public speaking at numerous venues, and assisting with school and community gardens throughout the county. And now we have the opportunity to do an awesome radio show. We hope you will join us weekly for a half hour of fun in the garden. This week, our topic is the month in the garden. Today, I have one of my co-hosts, and she's going to be talking to us about what to do in our garden this month. Tina Spindler, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Katrina. Yeah, this is a great time of year, October. I know a lot of folks who come from other parts of the country might not realize what a busy time of year October is in Southern California. In cold climates, everybody's wrapping up their garden. But in our glorious climate, this is actually one of our busiest months of the year because we really need to get cracking and changing from our warm season gardens to our cool season gardens.
You know, so many people think the seasons is over and there's nothing to do in the month of October. Tina, what would we do with our seasonal colors in our roses?
Yeah, so let's talk first about the pretty part of the garden, right? Where we have our flowers and our roses. And you might think that your roses might be winding down. And they might look a little sad, especially when we've had this horrible heat recently. But our roses here in Southern California will continue on until we get a real good cold snap, or until we force them into dormancy, which we usually do in January by pruning. So for our roses this time of year, you just want to continue to deadhead them. And a good time to feed them for one more bloom flush is actually right now. If we give them a little bit of food right now, you can have roses at December when you might have lots of visitors coming to visit your home.
Tina, what kind of food would you be feeding them right now? Is it the same as what you'd be feeding them through the year, or is there something special for this time of year?
No, I would continue to just use a rose food if you want it to be kind of foolproof, but any food that has ingredient that promotes bloom, which if you look at a bag of fertilizer and you see those three numbers, it's that middle number that you want to be a little bit higher to promote bloom, and that would be the phosphorus. That's the center number on a bag of fertilizer. But to be foolproof, just, you know, use the regular rose fertilizer that you've been using all year, or anything that says it's for blooms and flowers. But we also want to talk about what we do with other color in our gardens. If you planted and had a real colorful garden this summer, you know, marigolds, petunias, a lot of the heat-loving flowers, as the weather starts to cool, they're going to be finished. Those are your annual warm season flowering plants, and they are not going to be real happy as the weather gets cooler. So in October, what you want to do to keep your, you know, pots blooming and just prolifically, and your garden beds as well, is you want to switch from those warm season plants to some cool season color. And some of the favorites for those are snapdragons, stock, pansies, of course, Iceland poppies and calendula, and my personal favorite, which is sweet peas. There's nothing like a bouquet of sweet-smelling sweet peas that just blooms and blooms and blooms throughout the cool winter months. If you plant these plants now, you're going to end up having that color probably, hopefully, all the way to March or April of next year. And that gives you, unlike anywhere else in the country, that gives you color in those winter months here. We're just so lucky that we can have flowers blooming all year.
Tina, would you recommend to plant these plants from seeds or from six packs? Or what would you recommend on doing?
Oh, great question. For most of them, if you had wanted to plant from seeds, you should have started those at the end of August in, you know, six packs, and then they would be ready for transplanting out into the garden in October. If you didn't do that, then I would just recommend getting six packs from the nursery of plants that have already been started. The exception to that, though, would be my favorite cool season flower, which is sweet peas. Those are best planted from seed. You can sometimes find them in six packs, but I like to plant them from seed. And you want to dig a trench that's fairly deep, 6 to 8 inches deep, and amend that soil, and then backfill the soil in and only plant them about an inch deep. But read the package instructions when you get a packet of sweet peas. And if they are the vining type, make sure you provide a wall or a trellis for them to grow on. There are some bush varieties that don't need a trellis, so just know that you need to use a trellis if you're going to get the real tall vining ones. And oh, be prepared for some scent to completely fill your home in the winter months when these things bloom. They'll just smell up a whole room.
You know, Tina, I did sweet peas for a number of years, and instead of putting them on trellises, I had a wall, about a 4-foot-high wall, and I planted them on the top of the wall, and they cascaded over.
Oh!
So I had about a 40-foot wall of sweet peas that just cascaded over all winter long.
Oh, Katrina, that is so cool. I have a wall. I know exactly where I'm going to try and do that. I have never seen that done, and that's why I love doing this show, is not only do I get to share information, but I get some cool information. What a great idea.
Yeah. It's simple. It's easy.
Yeah.
It just flows over, and you
Absolutely.
Walk out and you just see this beautiful wall of all these different color sweet peas.
Yeah. I know where I'm doing that.
You could tell we both like sweet peas.
Yeah.
Well, Tina, is there anything else that we should talk about as far as color or roses right now?
No, I think that gives everybody a good idea that this is definitely the time to go ahead and continue taking care of your roses, encouraging them to bloom, and then planting some new cool season plants that will give you color throughout the winter. But the next thing that I might like to talk about, I think, is near and dear to your heart. I know you have a big property. So what do you grow a lot of, Katrina?
Oh my goodness. I have been out in the yard this last weekend and cleaning up the yard, getting the soil ready. We have planted in our vegetable garden. That is my passion right now. We're getting ready for our fall vegetables. And we have planted kale and chard and peas and cabbage and broccoli. And I'm just so excited.
Yeah, you're going to have a great winter vegetable garden. You've mentioned so many of those cool season veggies that are great to plant this time of year. Again, because we're entering the cool season, we want to take out those summer plants that are finished. So if you have, you know, tomatoes, that's probably what you were doing this weekend, ripping out those tomato plants that were done, and any other plants that have seen better days. Probably this, I know my squash has, you know, really kind of bit the dust, and I want to make room for these new cool season veggies. I'll keep a few things that are still going on, like my cucumbers are still looking pretty good and my peppers are still looking pretty good, but they're not going to like that cool weather that's coming up. So I'll leave them in for a few more weeks, but I'm clearing out the ones that are pretty much done. And as you are, I'm planting those cool season veggies. So let me just recap a few of them that Katrina said, and then maybe add a couple that she didn't mention. Lettuce is actually my favorite. I love the greens for the cool season. And so that would include so many varieties of lettuce, you know, red, green, purple, leaf lettuce, head lettuce, whatever it is you like to eat. Also arugula, one of my absolute favorites to have fresh in the garden. And then you mentioned kale, which is my new favorite green leafy vegetable. I love kale. Of course, there's spinach. Spinach is another great green to grow in the winter. And one of the things I like to tell people, in case you're having trouble remembering which of those crops are the ones to plant in the cool season, think of it this way. Anything that's leafy, so all the lettuces and cabbages, anything in those families. Anything that's roots, so carrots, beets, onions, those are things you want to plant in the cool season. And then, of course, as we said before, peas, only this time the edible peas, not the sweet pea flowers, but the edible peas. And, of course, there are several varieties of those. The shelling ones where you just, you know, shell them and eat the peas that are inside. Or my personal favorite, the sugar snap peas where you eat the pod and everything. I just love to go out and crunch on those in the garden. And I've found that that's a favorite of kids as well. And then the last category for winter would be broccoli and cauliflower. So those cole crops that form a head, those are also great for the cool season.
You know, when I first started talking about the vegetables, what I forgot to say is one of the most important things is to clear out your garden and prep your garden. If you take time prepping your garden and prepping your soil, it's going to make the rest of the season so much easier.
Absolutely. Every time, and we didn't talk about this when we were talking about changing out the color, but it applies to whether you're planting decorative landscape plants or edible plants. You need to always improve your soil. And the way that you and I know we should do this is after we pull things out and we clear out the beds where we're going to be planting, we always add a couple of inches of fresh compost. The reason we want to do that is, as you know, we want to have organic matter in our soil. Our soil should be about 25% organic matter, 25% mineral matter, 25% air, and 25% water. Well, the trouble with organic matter is it decomposes. It's organic. It goes away. So that's why we add a little bit more every season. And then we want to till that in with a spading fork or one of those three-pronged or four-pronged cultivators that are on, you know, a long handle where you can chop up the soil. And at the same time that we're doing that, I think you and I both always add an organic fertilizer according to the package directions to the bed, so that now we have great loose soil, it has enough organic matter in it, and it has some great nutrients from an organic fertilizer. And then, as you said, we're ready to plant.
I always thought that it was so much work to get ready to plant, Once I start gardening more, I realized it was so much less work once I plant it if I prepared the soil. So it's a really important step. Don't forget it.
It is. And, you know, it's a great time to recruit either if you have, you know, some kids that are got strong backs or maybe your husband or even, you know, hire a gardener to do the heavy digging for a couple of hours. You know, hire a gardener to do that heavy work if you're not up to it. Or the best solution of all is planting containers. Then you don't have to do a lot of digging. Instead, you can fill containers with a good quality potting mix that you can buy at any garden center. And then you're ready to plant in nice, fresh soil, add a little fertilizer to it when you plant. And that's the way I always recommend beginning gardeners. Don't you think they have more success that way?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. A lot more success.
Yeah. You don't want to overwhelm yourself by picking out, you know, a quarter acre to grow something in. Start small with some containers. Although do use bigger containers. I have more success if I use containers that are at least 18 inches wide, just because they require a little less watering and a little less fertilizing. If you're trying to garden, don't you think in like a little 6-inch pot, you're fighting a losing battle. There's not much room for that plant.
I find there's not much room for the plant. I also find I have to be very careful about water because it dries out. So larger containers are much more forgiving. If I want to go away for the weekend or I forget it for a day or two, it has a little more grace.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that most veggies that we want to eat in our home gardens are absolutely happy in containers. So if you're just getting started trying to grow edibles or flowering plants, you know, there's nothing more rewarding than planting one pot of flowers. And boy, in, you know, a 20-minute project, you can be really proud of yourself and have this beautiful finished project. And the same thing for a veggie garden. One of my favorite projects to do with kids is called bucket gardens. And we may do a show on that later. But, you know, you just get a big bucket and poke some holes in the bottom of it. And, you know, you can use that as a container. Some of those, you know, big box retailers have those big orange buckets, plastic buckets, not particularly attractive. But if you just wanted to try growing a crop of lettuce, get one of those. Fill it with a bag of potting mix and get a 6-pack of lettuce and plant that. And, you know, you have salad there for, gosh, what would you say? How long does your lettuce last if you just harvest the outer leaves?
Oh, it keeps going.
Yeah.
It just keeps
what,
going.
2-3 months, something
two, three
like
months,
that.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
And, the great thing about lettuce, especially the leafy varieties of lettuce, is you just harvest the outer leaves. You leave those inner leaves there and they keep sending up new shoots from the center of the plant. And that's why you get to keep harvesting it for so long.
You know, and it's so much fun. We have company come over and they say, what's for dinner? And I tell them to go find it.
Oh, there you go. Scavenger hunt for dinner.
Scavenger hunt for dinner. And kids love it. And they learn how to pick lettuce and pick vegetables. And we always have a little project. And I always save a little project for a kid that comes over to help plant something.
Oh, that's so fun. Because if you introduce them when they're little, man, they're gardeners for life, I'll tell you.
Oh, and they're cute.
Yeah.
They're really cute about it.
Well, one of my favorite things to do with the little guys, I volunteer also at Centennial Farm where they grow, you know, a ton of carrots, and we tour these kindergarten classes. So I always take them over and I dig for buried treasure. Because when you pull a carrot out of the ground, it may not be a big deal to us, but to a small child, they definitely think it's buried treasure. And then, of course, they want to eat it right then. And so how many times do you have a kid begging to eat a vegetable? If you introduce them to growing their own, you'll have them begging to eat vegetables. Good for us all.
Indeed, indeed. We've had so many times where kids' families call, parents call us and say, how did you get my kids to eat vegetables?
Let them participate in the garden.
In the garden. They get to help plant. They come over and it's a project. It's a fun project for kids to do. They get to plant. They get to come over and they get to harvest. And we show them how to cook it or chop it up and age depending on what they get to do. And they love it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great way, I think, to turn the corner for a lot of people in terms of getting them to have better nutrition is just grow a bucket of lettuce or a bucket of carrots, and all of a sudden you'll have folks focused on eating a little bit more healthily. But there is another topic I'd like to talk about real quickly before we run out of time about what to do in the garden this time of year. And that is we have lots of shrubs and perennials in many of our gardens. I know you have a big property, so I'm sure you have scads and scads of perennials, that is plants that, for our listeners who might not be familiar with the term, plants that last more than 1 year. And so that when you have a big garden, you have no choice, right? You don't want to be planting your whole garden every year.
You want to have a life too.
Yeah.
You know, there's a balance. You could have fun gardening and doing your plants, but you also need to have a balance of life too. So yes, I have lots of perennials.
Right. So I understand that one of the patches of perennial flowers that you have are Shasta daisies, right?
I love my Shasta daisies.
Well, I'm going to tell you, because I know you're relatively new to Shasta daisy planting, but I want to tell you how you can expand your Shasta daisies throughout your garden, because I know you have a big garden to take care of. Shasta daisies are one of those perennials that you can divide. And this is the month when you want to divide perennials. So perennials like Shasta daisies, iris, the rhizome type of iris, the bearded iris, daylilies, those kinds of plants all, if you're going to want to propagate them or increase other areas where you might have them, now's the time to do that. And the way that you do that is if you have a clumping plant like Shasta daisies or daylilies, you can take a spade and dig up the whole area of the plant and then cut the plant into, say, quarters so that you end up with four clumps. And then you have a new plant. Each of those clumps can be replanted to a new spot in the garden. So instead of having one clump, you now can have four clumps of those gardens, of that plant. The bearded iris are a little bit different. You dig those up, and anywhere that you see leaves coming out of the rhizome, and a rhizome looks like a really fat kind of root, looks like a tuber, kind of like a potato. And for that, you want to get a sharp knife, and you would cut that tuber into pieces, making sure that you have some leaves sticking out of each of the places where you make a cut, and then you can replant each of those and they will become a separate plant. So October is a great time to do that because the plant will be slowing down its growth and yet the soil is still warm. And so when you replant that new plant into the soil that is still warm, it won't be experiencing a big shock from cold soil. And so you can have a great new plant, get a little bit of a jump start on the season. And by next spring, it's going to have that whole winter, and hopefully we'll get some rain. It'll have that whole winter, maybe a little bit of rain, to put forth new roots. And so come spring, you will have some great blooms from those transplanted perennials.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. You know what else is fun to do with those? If you have a friend or loved one that lives here in Orange County too, you can share part of your garden.
Absolutely. My favorite plants in my garden are what I call my friendship plants. And I love walking around the garden and just remembering, you know, that, oh, this person gave me that plant. My mom gave me that plant. You know, this aunt, whatever. It's just a really fun thing to do.
It's a nice gift, a wonderful thing to share.
Yeah, it really is.
Any other suggestions for our perennials and shrubs right now?
You know, I think that it's a good time for your shrubs to just go through and clip them back gently. They're not going to be experiencing fast growth from here on out. They're going to be slowing down because of the weather starting to cool off. But you want to continue to maintain them and make sure that they have been adequately trimmed, but no big pruning right now. We're going to wait to do big pruning until January when some of our deciduous shrubs and trees are actually dormant, when they've lost all their leaves. And so right now the pruning should just be, you know, gentle trimming, and we'll save any hard pruning that we're going to do until January. And of course, our audience will have to tune in, you know, then to hear about pruning.
Pruning in January. You know, I also like doing it right now because it cleans up the garden a bit. And you also have a bit of time where there's enough sun where it grows back enough so it looks pretty. And it doesn't look stringy through the winter time.
Absolutely.
And then in January, February, whenever you do the hard cut back, the days are starting to get longer and you're going to have faster growth.
Right. Absolutely. It's always important to make sure that you're getting adequate sun to your flowering and edible plants especially.
You know, Tina, we have a few more minutes left. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about turf.
Sure. I know that we're all trying to get away from turf or lawns because of our severe drought and water situation, but you know, a lot of us still have lawns and can't either afford or have the time and energy to replace them. So if you have what's called a cool season lawn, like a fescue lawn, and if you're not sure, you can take a little sample of your lawn to a good nursery and ask them what type of grass you have, and they can tell you. But if you have a cool season lawn, those are lawns that more actively grow when the weather is cooler. And a lot of us do have cool season lawns here. So you want to start feeding your cool season lawn in the cool months, and October would be when you want to start feeding them. That will green up your cool season lawn. You also want to continue to regularly mow your cool season lawn and water it, but remember, as the weather gets cooler, now we may have some Santa Ana, you know, conditions where we have really hot, dry days, but the weather is going to be getting cooler. So let's do our part to conserve water and turn back that sprinkler frequency in October, because we're not going to need as much water from here on out through the winter.
It is amazing how much we could save by just adjusting our sprinklers.
Absolutely. A good way to remember is when you change the time on your clock, when you fall back, and also when you spring ahead, you should at least try to remember to change your sprinkler timers those two times a year. When you fall back, you want to decrease the amount of time you're watering. And when you spring forward, of course, as the days are getting longer and warmer, you can increase the sprinklers. Now, ideally, you would do it more than those two times a year, but at least I get it in my head. Oh, I changed the clocks. I got to change the sprinklers. It's a good way to remember it.
Or you could be compulsive like I am, and I look at a 10-day forecast.
Wow.
And I try to, a big yard trying to save water and not feel as guilty. I watch the 10-day forecast, and a lot of times I don't change anything, but if there's rain in sight, off go the sprinklers.
Absolutely. We should always turn off the sprinklers when it rains. So good for you.
Well, Tina, it looks like we're wrapping up time here. I want to thank you so much. This is Katrina Kirkaby and Tina Spindler, and we're going to be doing, along with Mark Furley, a weekly show. And you could look at KUCI's website to see when we'll be on the air. And we'll be doing a half hour. If you have any questions about what we talked about today, or if you have a specific question about what to do in your garden, you can either look at our website, www.uccmg.com, or ask the question, a specific question, on hotline, HOTLINE, at uccmg.com. This is Katrina Kirkaby, and I thank you for being with us, and we're at KUCI in Irvine, California. Thank you.